This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Okay. A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytan ar-rajim. Bismillahi r-Rahman r-Rahim. As-salatu wa s-salam ala Sayyidina al-Muslim wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu, everybody. Welcome to Soul Food. Inshallah, hopefully we'll be looking at going live with Soul Food in person sometime soon in the near future. Alhamdulillah, I believe Texas kind of got they got a little bit better in terms of their COVID situation. So inshallah, we, as you know, so far for Roots, we've actually been able to host artwork live and in person through like an RSVP method, obviously. The past two Mondays, and then inshallah, obviously Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's permission, we'll be able to host Soul Food very soon sometime in person. And I know that's, you know, as Ustadha Fatima joins us, I know that's kind of like a dream of hers and mine is to go live in person again at some point, because I think I don't know, Ustadha Fatima, I'm extremely like seeing people in front of me and not only like a camera with my face on it. I get comfortable seeing my face.
It's just Yeah, like, same while, here. I'm like, I need this human interaction, you know?
Right.
Apart.
Yeah, exactly. Six feet apart, but alhamdulillah, you know, we're really looking forward to sharing a space with everybody in the near future again, inshallah. So today is actually day, we together now will be completing this amazing chapter of the Quran, right? Asana Fatima, I don't know, when did we finish Surah Yusuf? Like, I believe back when we were in person, I believe almost, right?
Yeah.
Like we it was like February, March.
Yeah, we did in person. We finished in, yeah, you're right, in February.
Yeah, and yeah, no, you're good. And now, alhamdulillah, ever since March, we started this new surah, and we were kind of thinking what would be really cool to cover after the story of Prophet Yusuf. Prophet Yusuf's story is just so legendary that you almost have to like top it with a story that's either as amazing or even better. And we chose to do the story, the narrative of Prophet Musa in Surah Al-Qasas. And alhamdulillah, we had such a good time in these past, you know, 3-4 months. And as you can tell, one of the really cool things about, you know, the narratives of the Quran is that they take a long time to tell, right? It's not just like a normal storybook that you just open up and you can read it in like a day or two. It's like one verse equals like 20 minutes of conversation and reflection, because that's just the way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does what he does, right? It's just beautifully dense in its meaning and amazingly deep in its reflection. And so now, alhamdulillah, we are finally at the last couple of verses of Surah Al-Qasas. We're literally at the end. This is the last 3-4 ayats that we have to go through today. And literally, you know, we are at the finish line here with this 28th chapter of the Quran that we started 4 months ago. And inshallah, we have a short announcement for you guys coming up at the end of the session today, which will kind of reveal a little bit of what we're going to do in the future, inshallah, in regards to Soul Food. So today, what we're going to talk about, and if you guys saw it on the title, the flyer today said being unapologetically Muslim. And if you're on Facebook or Instagram, you see that the title says being unapologetically Muslim. So Asana Fatima, before we even dive into the verses, what do you, it's a very loaded kind of phrase, right? Being unapologetically Muslim. What does that mean to you? How is somebody when they see it? And I think, you know, because of Islamophobia and a lot of difficulty, and you and I have had conversations several times about, you know, how to upkeep this kind of moral compass when the rest of society around us is struggling a lot with this morality and its values. So how do we as Muslims, how are we supposed to stay unapologetically? How are we supposed to be very, very thorough in our steadfastness?
I think one big thing is that sometimes people think that being unapologetically Muslim means that you're rude. You know, you're disrespectful, you're rude, you know, you're in people's face about it and things of that nature. Being unapologetically Muslim is not about treating people in a bad way. You know, that's actually against, you know, being your Muslim nature is actually against how you should be as a good Muslim. But rather, what it actually means is about, you know, not being afraid to worship Allah the way Allah has asked you to worship him. you know, the Prophet and the companions there, they're going through a lot in Mecca, right? To the point where this story is revealed when they're doing making Hijra, right? So they're going through a lot in Mecca. There is a lot of just torture. You know, you have Bilal radiallahu ta'ala anhu being pushed through the streets. You have, you know, you have Abdullah bin Mas'ud. Like, you have so many different situations and different people going through so much because of their faith. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling them that, you know, you don't have to be scared of these people, because know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has guided your back. You know, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows that these people are wrong. And that's like the ayah, this ayah, first ayah number 85, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and he knows, like he says, قُلْ رَبِّ أَعْلَمُ مَا جَاءَ بِالْهُدَى, that your Lord, say, he's telling the Prophet for you to say, this is what you need to say. This is something that you need to, you know, we talk about positive affirmations all the time. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling the Prophet that this is what you say, that my Lord is most knowing of who brings guidance. Like, I am a messenger. I'm just here bringing this. You know what I'm saying? I'm just dropping this off. And then, وَمَنْ هُوَ فِي دَلَالٍ مُبِينٍ, and who's clearly in the wrong. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling them that you don't compromise, you don't compromise your faith, and you're not wrong. Just because so many people are claiming that you're wrong, you're not wrong. That this is your faith, this is what you're practicing, and recognize that this is part of like being unapologetically Muslim.
Right. And it's really incredible, actually, that you mentioned that, is that the first part of this entire, I guess, stanza of verses here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "Inna ladina farada alayka al-Qur'ana la radduka ila al-ma'adi ila ma'adi." And what's really cool about this, y'all, this verse is really deep and it hits me really hard. As Ustada Fatima was talking about it, that this verse was, or this surah was majorly revealed to the Prophet when he was doing his hijra, meaning like he left his hometown and he was going towards his new home, which was called the city of Medina, or at that time it was called Yathrib. And, you know, there are so many narrations about how this surah is so, it's so sensitive for the Prophet, because Allah, to ease his pain of leaving his home, he told him the story of another prophet who also had to leave where he was from. And that was the story of Moses. And what's really interesting is that there are so many other points in our lives, right, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we can relate to this, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala kind of keeps us telling us to go on, to continue on, keep pushing forward. And there was another moment in the Prophet's life where this is actually kind of relative, where there was a journey that he went on that was miraculous called the Isra wal Mi'raj. And when he went to the heavens and he saw the prophets that came before him, he saw a plethora of prophets and messengers, you know, including Prophet Harun, Prophet Ibrahim, Prophet Adam, Yusuf, Dawood, you name it. And of those prophets that he met was Prophet Musa. And one of the narrations of that meeting between these two prophets was that Musa alayhi salam, one of the narrations say that Musa alayhi salam was a little bit, you know, he was a little bit sad. And so the Prophet goes, why are you upset? Like, what's wrong? And Prophet Musa alayhi salam, he tells the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he says, well, there is a prophet that will come after me who more of his ummah will enter paradise than my own ummah will. Mm. And at that point, what was really, really amazing is that at that point, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam was still in Mecca, and he only had a handful of people who believed in his message, right? It was very few people. It's as though, like, you know, you and me were, you know, teaching, or you and me were kind of, you know, putting together a group of people to socialize and hang out, and only two people showed up. And although, you know, there's quality, and, you know, we're taught that in Islam, is that quality always triumphs over quantity. But at a certain point, you know, the prophets of Allah, we know that their job, right, to recite the verses, to teach with wisdom, and also yuzakihim, to purify their people. And so the jobs of prophets were, at the end of the day, to guide their people towards salvation. And the Prophet always, his sadness was that, you know, Mecca just wasn't getting it. They just weren't getting it. There were only a few people that got it. But him meeting Prophet Musa, you know, in the, that level of heaven where he met him was really legendary, because at that point, Musa alayhi salam told him, he said, wow, you know, there's a prophet that's going to come after me whose ummah will, more of them will enter paradise than my own. And Prophet Musa alayhi salam's ummah was huge. So the Bani Israel, like, that's like massive amount of people. And that was just really reassuring for the prophet. And one thing I want to kind of ask everyone to reflect on is, what are the moments in life where you felt that Allah was telling you to keep pushing, keep pushing on, right? Because there are several moments in your life where you're going to feel like quitting. You know, like, and I'm sure there are days you feel like, right, today I'm bad, and I just can't catch a break this week. It has gone terribly for me. I mean, the past 5 months, for God's sake, it's like absolutely horrendous for most people that are living in this world right now. I mean, it's tough. People are losing jobs. People are losing family members. People are losing what they normally do on a day-to-day basis. And it's been a difficult year. But within those times of difficulty, there are also moments where Allah gives you signs and he tells you, just continue, just push forward. You got this, continue going. So one point of reflection that I wanted to kind of bring about to everybody before I let Ustada Fatima kind of, you know, teach us or narrate to us the second ayah is, what are those points of Allah encouraging you? What are those points of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala encouraging you to push forward? What are those moments in the past week or the past month or the past couple of days even where you felt that there were signs that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was telling you, just continue, you got this, you can keep doing it, right? So just think about that, inshallah, as we kind of reflect over these next couple of ayahs. So Ustada Fatima, if you want to go ahead and inshallah, just maybe reflect with us a little bit about, you know, ayah 86, what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us.
So in ayah 86, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking to the Prophet. So this entire like section is still as like, think of it as a consolation to the Prophet, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the Muslims, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is letting him know, you know, I'm here for you. Like, I'm here for you. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells him, he says, وَمَا كُنْتَ تَرُجُّ أَنْ يُلُقَى إِلَيْكَ الْكِتَابِ. Like, you didn't even, you yourself didn't even realize the scripture was being sent to you. Like, you yourself, even if you wanted to come up with it, because, you know, that's what, that was the claim. Like, oh, he's a sorcerer, he's a poet, he came up with this by himself. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, you yourself could not have expected this book to have been sent to you. Like, it wasn't in your wildest dreams. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that illa rahmatan min rabbik, that it was sent to you as a mercy from your Lord. And I find this, just kind of like to talk about this a little bit, I find this to be so beautiful, because a lot of times when we think about our faith, we think about our religion, we think about us following, you know, Islam and things of that nature, we kind of feel like sometimes people, the way it's presented to us or the way that is hounded on us, it becomes like a burden, right? Like, you, I have to go read Quran right now, and like, I can't, like, it's just so, you know, I think about my old Quran teacher, I think about this and I think about that, and it just makes me unmotivated and all this stuff. You think about your religion to be a burden when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has constantly told us himself how the religion is supposed to be. And you know, a lot of times, like, I used to tell my friends, we'll have conversations and stuff like that, and we'll always say that when someone shows you who they are or their intentions, you believe them, right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows us exactly what the religion is. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows us exactly what the Quran is, exactly why the Quran is the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, why we're supposed to follow it. And so what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is literally telling to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is that, yeah, times are hard and things are difficult and people don't believe in you. And not only that, it's not even about the whole belief thing, but they're being like obnoxious and they're fighting and they're, you know, hurting you and they're hurting the people around you and all these things. But know that this is not a reflection of the religion. It's a reflection of their actions. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says this in Surah Talha too. He says, مَا أَنزَلْنَا إِلَيْكَ الْقُرْآنَ لِتَشْقَى. We didn't send the Quran down upon you so that it can cause you to be like, have grief, so it can give you anxiety, so that it can be something that's stressful. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala clarifies here, illa rahmatan min rabbik, that it's a mercy from your Lord. And so then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَلَا تَكُونَنَّ ذَهِيرًا لِلْكَافِرِينَ. So don't have the back of those who disbelieve. Like, literally, ذَهِيرًا means to have somebody's back. Like, to be somebody's, like, you know, just be their right hand man, you know, like trying to help them out, just to see, like, oh, okay, like, maybe if I compromise here and help you out a little bit, then you will like be nicer to me. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is like, no, that's not why you're sent here. That's not why the book is sent to you. you know, they're going to do what they want to do regardless.
SubhanAllah. And, you know, it really brings about a reflection or a parallel to the fact that this life is going to present itself in a very, very a very beautiful way, right? There are so many things in this life that seem so appealing for us, right? Just do whatever you want to do. Just, you know, just abandon, you know, a way of thought. And, you know, and I was actually really interesting. I was talking to a community member earlier today. I remember this is actually a parent I was talking to. And, you know, she and I were having a conversation about how to kind of keep this idea of Islam within our young Muslims. Like, how do you do it? How do you honestly teach them that Islam is something that they want to do? And I was very honest with her, and I told her, I said, look, you know, auntie, with all due respect, we're fighting an uphill battle. Mm-hmm. You know, we're fighting an uphill battle. I mean, it's just true. And anyone who says otherwise is probably, mashallah, at a level of like zuhud that I'm not at yet. You can just kind of like completely close off everything else in society that tempts you. But for the average Muslim, right, for you and I, the reality is that this world is extremely tempting in its way that it presents itself to us, where, you know, just do whatever you want, fulfill whatever desires you want, right? You know, why get up at like 6 a.m. to pray? Sleep in a little bit, right? Like, get your rest. You deserve it. You work so hard. And, you know, and this is kind of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala telling the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He says, you know, don't be a supporter of that lifestyle. That's not you. That's not you. That's not who you are. Because Allah has given you too much for you to turn on him like that. You know, Allah has given you too much to turn on him like that. And then the next ayah in verse 87, Allah
subhanahu wa ta'ala,
it literally one of the most powerful ayahs in this entire surah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says in this ayah, he says, and let them, sorry, I gotta pull it up here on the screen for you guys so you can see.
عن آيات الله بعد إذ أنزلت إليك.
And never let them avert you from the verses of Allah after they have been revealed to you. Don't let them discourage you. Don't let them discourage you. This is, you know, the word ayat, actually in Arabic, a lot of us kind of refer to like just verses, right? It's Quran, it's this sentence verse in the Quran, but it's not. It's actually, it parallels for the meaning of signs and miracles. You know, everything that he's given you, right? Don't let them divert you from these blessings and miracles you've seen in your life, right? And it just takes a person to sit back for a second and be like, wow, okay, Allah has given me all this. I cannot deny it. I cannot deny it. And then it says, وَلَا تَكُونُنَّ مِنَ الْمُشْرِكِينَ. And never be of those who partner up others with Allah, that get their priorities mixed up with Allah. So, Fatima, do you have any reflections from this ayah?
Yeah, I find this ayah to be really beautiful for two reasons. One, this entire surah was revolving around, you know, the Prophet ﷺ making that hijrah, and him also, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, bringing the example of Musa alayhi salam, you know, for the Prophet ﷺ to reflect on. And in Surah Taha, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is detailing his conversation with Musa alayhi salam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells him, you know, I'm your Lord, like I've called you here, take off your sandals. He tells him, like, I'm Allah, you should worship me, all these things. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَلَا يَسُدَّنَّكَ, he uses the same verbiage, فَلَا يَسُدَّنَّكَ عَنْهَا مَنْ لَا يُؤْمِنُ بِهَا وَتَبَعَ هَوَاهُ فَتَرْدَى. He tells Musa alayhi salam, don't let people who do not believe in what you believe in, okay, they do not worship what you worship, they follow their own desires, don't let them turn you away from your mission. Don't let people who are not on the same page as you turn you away from the things that you aspire for in this world. That's literally what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that they follow their own desires, and that is what causes them to perish. And you will end up being in that boat. You know, birds of a feather flock together. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us, he lets us know that there are going to be haters that come around. Like, people are going to make you not want to worship your Lord. People are going to make you not want to properly, you know, practice your religion. And it's going to start off with things like, why do you wear hijab? Like, what's the point? You know, isn't that so outdated? It's going to start off with comments like, why do you dress this way? Why are you trying to be so pious? Why are you trying to be so religious all of a sudden? Why don't you watch this? Why don't you look at that? Why don't you date so-and-so? Why don't you... Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala literally tells us, don't let people who don't understand the purpose of life guide you on your purpose of life. You cannot do that. Because at the end of the day, they don't have the proper advice for you.
SubhanAllah, it's almost like, it's almost like, to me, it reminds me of like loyalty, right? You know, like when you know, like in your family, like when you're growing up and you kind of make decisions that sometimes where like you go hang out with other people instead of spending time with your family. Only until you kind of get a little bit older where you're like, dude, I don't care if my friends are going to spend like till like 4 a.m. laughing and joking and being like fools, and it'll be a lot of fun. But man, to me, spending 2 hours with my mom is like way more meaningful at this point in my life, you know? And I think, you know, one of the most beautiful things is that once you finally like get a little bit older, or not even older, man, like sometimes wisdom hits people young as well. And you kind of hit that loyalty. You're like, wow, okay, I cannot betray Allah like this. Like, you know, like why am I going to let somebody who doesn't really even care about me sway my thoughts and opinions about my life, right? That I'm not enough or I'm not doing enough. And you know what's crazy is this. And this is something that just popped in my head right now. A lot of issues that we have today, you know, whether it's that, you know, it's like self-image struggles, or it's struggles with like, I'm not good enough, and I'm not this enough, or I'm not that enough. None of that comes from Allah. It comes from the same people that you feel tempted by. Isn't that crazy? Right? Like the fact that like, oh, like maybe I'm not pretty enough, so I have to go and look like this for these people. Those are the same people that we sometimes get fooled into giving our priority and loyalty to. And Allah sitting over here, and he's like, you know, he's sitting over here, you know, and he's saying, I created you beautifully, right?
Yeah.
I've already given you nobility and dignity. I don't need you to change for me. You are perfect the way that you are. And unfortunately, you know, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that, you know, someone book when umyun, like sometimes like we just can't see things properly. We just can't see things properly. And only until we get older and sometimes we kind of hit that sense of like spiritual awareness, we're like, man, Allah has been so good to me for my entire life. And it's actually the people sometimes that have let me down. And you feel so sucky at that moment, for the lack of a better term. You feel so sucky where you're just like, I gave my attention to these people, to those distractions. That's where I give my loyalty to. No. I got to redirect right now. I got to redirect my compass and point it to its true north, which is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it's something that's incredibly reflective for me to think about. And so in this last ayah now, Salah Fatima and I have reached to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He says, I'll pull up the translation for all of you guys who are on Facebook. I wish there was a way we could do it on Instagram, inshallah. Maybe we'll start doing that next month. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says in the 88th ayah in Surah Al-Qasas, he says, وَلَا تَدْعُوا مَعَ اللَّهِ إِلَٰهًا آخر لا إله إلا هو كل شيء هالك إلا وجهه. This is like a crazy ayah, right? This is like incredible. Allah says at the end, he kind of like puts like a bow on top. He like puts it together and strings it together and wraps it up. He says, and do not invoke with Allah any other being, any other deity. لا إله إلا هو. Okay. آخر لا إله إلا هو. And there is no deity except هو, except Allah. كل شيء هَالِكُنْ إِلَّا وَجْهَهُ. Everything will end up perishing and end up coming to its end except وَجْهَهُ. Now this is interesting because the word وَجْهَ means somebody's face, right? It means like this right here. So obviously, so there has to be kind of like a little bit of like a mission that we have to unsolve where Allah says, هَالِكُنْ إِلَّا وَجْهَهُ. Everything will perish or everything will end except Allah's face. Now what does that mean? The scholars actually say here that there are a couple of meanings to this. Who in this ayah specifically, some scholars, they say that this refers to Allah Ta'ala himself, that everything except Allah will be gone one day. And all of those priorities and the attention that you gave elsewhere, those will all come to an end. The friends that you had will also pass away like you will pass away. The wealth that you have will not be buried with you in the ground and will not benefit you in the hereafter. You know, the house that you had, mashallah, the cars that you drove, you know, the popularity that you had, you know, the whatever you had in your life, your career, your job, all of those things one day will come to an end. Illa wajhahu, except Allah. And Allah will be the only one that will remain at the end of your life. And Allah will tell you, are you ready now? Like, are you ready to come to me now? And another explanation the scholars, they say, is that wajhahu also kind of doubles for your deeds. That, you know, like what like everything will go away at the end of the day except your deeds. Your deeds are going to be the only things that will remain with you, because that's literally the proof that you have that you use this life that Allah has given you to benefit yourself for the next life, right? That you've done something. You know what's the worst feeling ever at the end of the year when you graduate? It's like when you have nothing to show for it, right?
Yep.
So a really amazing opportunity that Allah is giving us is like, hey, do your part. take this life and make sure you stamp your name on it, right? That like this is something I'm proud of that I can present to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at the end of my life, whether it be 20 years, 50 years, 70 years, whatever it is. I'll be proud to present it to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when I finally meet my Lord. And then it says here at the end, لَهُ الْحُكْمُ وَإِلَيْهِ تُرْجَعُونَ. Allah says at the end, his is the judgment and to him you will be returned to him. And it always reminds you at the end that you'll always go back to him. You know, إِنَّ لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّ إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ. We all know that at the end of our lives, Allah is the one that we return to, right? So Fatima, do you have any sort of reflection from this last ayah?
Yeah, I think that too, like what I see this ayah, I see, you know, in connection to the previous ayah where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, don't let things like take you, don't let people or things that are not on your same path, that are not trying to connect to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that are not trying to make it to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with like a clean heart, dictate the path that you should take. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala follows it up by saying, وَلَا تَدْعُوا مَعَ اللَّهِ إِلَهًا آخَرٍ, and don't put anything or anyone before your relationship between you and Allah. And what's so beautiful about that is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is letting you know. First, he says, don't take things and like, don't take people's pathways that are not taking you to the right path. And how do you do that? How do you keep yourself in the clear? How do you make sure that you're practically, you know, not going down the wrong path? Well, the way that you're not going by the wrong path is by making sure that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and you and your relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is first priority in your life. That you are constantly in pursuit of the fadl, the favor, and the mercy and compassion of Allah. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives you a reason. Why does God have to give us a reason? He doesn't. You know, you should worship me, put me first, because I'm God, I created you. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, La ilaha illa hu. There's no one who has any type of power that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has. There's no one who, there's no God except for him. There's no deity except for him. That at the end of the day, no one is even worthy of having that level of, you know, commitment to you. No one is even worthy of you sacrificing your relationship with God for. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala further drives that point. He says, "Kullu shay'in halikun illa wajha," that the only thing at the end of the day that's going to exist is Allah. Mm-hmm. You only got God. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will put these different things in your life, different people to remind you of him and all that stuff. But it's just that, to remind you of him. You don't put people, you don't put things before your relationship with Allah. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ends it. He says, لَهُ الْحُكْمُ وَإِلَيْهِ تُرْجَعُونَ, that he is the one who will take, he is the judgment. He is the one that will take you into account for your actions. He is the one that we're going to stand before on the day of judgment. We're going to be, you know, you don't want to stand there and be like, oh man, I should have done better. You want to stand there where you're ready to meet your maker. You're ready to meet your creator. You're ready to, you know, be in the company, in the light, in the favor, in the complete mercy and compassion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us the blueprint of life. The blueprint of life is that you always put God first. That you, no matter what situation you're in, no matter where your life is taking you, no matter what you're doing in life, that you always put God first. And sometimes that is going to look difficult, you know? Sometimes it's going to look like you're the strange one in the land. Sometimes it's going to look abnormal. Sometimes it's going to look like great, you know? Sometimes it will be great. Sometimes it will be awesome. Sometimes, you know, you'll be in a group of people that you guys are all on the same page. It's not something that we're human beings. We're not robots. You know what I'm saying? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us these verses and these stories and all of this for us to be able to still feel our human being nature and still know the right decision to make.
SubhanAllah. SubhanAllah.
And it's so beautiful, you know?
It's absolutely amazing. And honestly, one thing that I wanted to kind of, and I actually looked back at my own Quran right here, and I saw one word that I actually wanted to kind of shortly end my reflections on. In verse 85, actually, if you go back and look at it, Allah says in the beginning, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ فَرَضَ عَلَيْكَ الْقُرْآنَ لَرَدُّكَ إِلَى مَعَادٍ. The word ma'adin is really interesting because this verse translates out to, surely the one who has enjoined the Quran upon you will surely bring you back to the place of return. Ma'adin means like a place you go back to. And the scholars, they mention that this surah, obviously, or this verse specifically, was actually revealed to the Prophet in a very, very key moment of his migration. So this beautiful narrator of hadith, right? This amazing companion of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, he says that during the Hijra, you know, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he came out of Jabal Thur. Jabal Thur, by the way, was the mountain that Abu Bakr and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam were hiding in, and he came out from Jabal Thur after he was hiding from the Quraysh that were trying to persecute them and capture them, and he basically went on, and they had to travel this route that was very unfamiliar to them, because the routes that were familiar, the Quraysh knew that they were going to go those routes, and so they had to avoid them in order to not be captured. And when the Prophet ﷺ, he reached this area called Juhfa, actually. Juhfa is this area that he reached. And it was a well-known place on the way to Medina. It was like a well-known route on the way to Medina. He stopped for a second. There's a narration that in the Sahih narrations of the Prophet ﷺ's seerah that says that when he reached Juhfa, he stopped for a second and he turned around and he looked back at the route towards Mecca. And it was like, the commentators of hadith, they say, what a heartbreaking moment that you knew that, like, you know, like that feeling. And I don't know, whoever's moved in here before, like, you know, like whoever's moved from a city to another city because of work or family or whatever it may be, you turn around for a second and like you see like that road, like, you know, like the interstate highway that goes your hometown. I'm sure it's not a Fatima, like you're from Atlanta, and you know, when you see like the interstate, the green signs that say this is the way to Atlanta, like a part of you just like, it just like, it aches a little bit, right? Because there's so many memories, man. Like I know whenever, you know, I'm in my wife and I and my family, we live in Dallas now, but I know whenever I go on a road trip and I see the sign for Memphis, like there's a little bit of home that hits me. I'm like, oh man, like that's where I'm from. Like that's like where I grew up, man. Like that's where all my memories are from. And the hadith commenters, they always say that like when he stopped at Juhfa, he turned around, he looked, and he saw the route to Mecca. And who could understand what the Prophet ﷺ was feeling at that moment, right? And this is when Allah revealed to him this ayah. Allah says that, you know, you've been chosen, Ya Rasulullah, right? You've been chosen to deliver this message. And surely the one who has enjoined the Quran upon you will surely one day bring you back to that place that you love. He will bring you back to that place that you love. So that's what he's talking about when he says the word ma'adin, that it's a place of return. And eventually the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he went back to Mecca as a Muslim, and the city of Mecca was a city of believers. Now, alhamdulillah, the end of all of it. And so one point of reflection I want to share with everybody is, you know, that word ma'adin, it represents a spiritual home that we all want to reach. And that is paradise. We all want to get there. We all want to get there. So my question to you guys as we end our session for today is, what is your ma'ad? What is your end goal? Because the Prophet ﷺ, even though he was in Medina, his heart ached for Mecca. It ached and it yearned to be back in that place where he was born, where he knew his family was from, and where he had all of his roots there. And obviously now we know the city of Medina as Medina to Munawwara, the city of light, and you know, the city of the Prophet. But Mecca was always his home, right? It was like where he was from. That was like where he started. And so I ask you guys, and he had to struggle so much, he had to give up so much, sacrifice so much to be where he was in his life. But Allah promised him that you will surely be returned to this place. So I ask you guys, what are you willing to sacrifice, and what is your end goal that you want to reach? You know, and ask yourself, make Jannah personal for you. What do you want, man? I know very specifically what I want in Jannah. So Fatima, I'm sure that you've like thought about this when you were teaching or when you were even a student yourself. Like, you know, everybody has their own objective or their own subjective opinion about what Jannah will look like for them. Like Jannah for me is like filled with chicken biryani and like, you know, my family and my parents and my best friends, and we're all gonna hang out together endlessly, no sadness whatsoever. So what is that for you? Make Jannah personal for you, and trust me, it will be a goal that will be easier for you to reach because you know it's going to be exactly like that, right? And that is something that, you know, we want to work towards, inshallah ta'ala. So we're going to wrap up here. I know everyone had a good laugh with my chicken biryani reference. Listen, bro, you can have whatever you want in Jannah. If you're a Matluba person or you're like a person who wants like ma'amul and all these different things, like it's all you, man. But inshallah, Allah Ta'ala gives us everything that we yearn for in Jannah al-Firdaus al-A'la. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to be people who reach our end goal. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward us for all of our efforts and forgive us for any of our shortcomings. Ameen. Rabbil Alameen. Ameen. of Khairan, thank you guys so much. Inshallah, this is our last session of Soul Food with Soul Soul Plus Us. A really, really cool announcement that we're going to be making really quickly, inshallah, is that Soul Food, starting in September, which is actually going to be this next Thursday, we're actually going to be bringing out thematic topics every single Soul Food. So what we'll do, inshallah, is actually we're going to be printing out like a flyer or like kind of conjuring up a flyer that has the entire month's worth of topics that we're going to discuss. And these topics are going to be extremely relevant. Ustada Fatima and I were talking about this earlier this week, what topics we want to go over. Some of the topics that we wanted to talk about, inshallah, would be like cancel culture. Does Islam allow cancel culture? Does Islam promote forgiveness, or does Islam promote canceling people out sometimes? Another couple of things is, you know, how to, we're going to talk about things like the Me Too movement. What's it like to kind of discuss these really relevant topics? Just Ustada Fatima, any other topics that you have in mind that I think we're covering soon, inshallah?
Yeah, we're supposed to talk about this idea of manifestation, you know, manifesting what you want in 2021, because we all know 2020.
Is manifesting just dua? I don't know. Ustada Fatima, is manifesting just dua? Am I getting ahead of myself? I don't know. We're going to be talking about this, inshallah, so y'all don't want to miss out in September. We're going to be talking about all these different things that are like lingos and terminology that we use nowadays in modern day culture, but how to kind of bring it back to spirituality and how to kind of always keep our deen as a priority. So we look forward to seeing you guys in the month of September. Jazakallah Khairan again. Jazakallah Khairan, you guys, for Ustada Fatima, for joining us this entire month, and we'll see you, inshallah, next month as well. For the sake of Allah, may Allah protect you guys, and inshallah, we'll see you guys soon. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.